Amen. If you have your Bibles, if you'd go ahead and turn to 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 23, if you would, please. 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 23. But before we read our text, I'd like to a chance to stand and give a testimony or just say praise the Lord or say you love the Lord. So anybody this morning here that would have a testimony or you just want to say praise the Lord or you love the Lord. It's always a good way to start the day out by praising the Lord. Anybody? Anybody from my left section? Miss Campbell. Good to see Miss Campbell back today. Amen. 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 She loves the Lord. Amen. Brother Coy. Amen. Anybody else over here on my left-hand side? Yes, sir. Brother Wilder. Amen. Okay, anybody over here on my left still? A praise or testimony? Going once? Going twice? Okay, anybody here in the middle section, you just want to pray? Yes, ma'am. Miss Sally? Amen. Much to praise of God for today. Good. Anybody else here in the middle section have anything to praise the Lord for? Yes, ma'am. Amen. Amen. Did the bus sell yesterday? Oh, it didn't sell. Okay. We'll keep praying. Anybody else here in the middle section have a testimony or a praise? Going once? Going twice? Anybody over here on the right-hand side have a testimony or just praise, Brother Jake? Amen. Anybody else on the right-hand side? Praise? Anything? Brother Wilson. Amen. For protection and health. Amen. Anyone else? Anyone have any afterthought that you wish you would have? Amen. Let's look at our text. 2 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 23 says this. And in the council of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man inquired at the oracles of God. In other words, his counsel was received as the word of God. Had inquired the oracles of God, and was all counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and Absalom. So we can look some more a little bit about the life of Ahithophel. Probably I guess. You know, as far as characters go, he's probably, at least until the last couple of years in my life, one of the least known characters. But then the more I've learned of him and the more some areas in my life that I needed, I learned here from this story. So today I want to look at the life of Ahithophel. But let's go back. If you could turn to my First Chronicles 27:33. I want to speak to get my eyes checked, so maybe I'll be able to read better. First Chronicles, chapter 17, verse 33. We're going to look at a little bit about Ahithophel. First Chronicles 27, and verse 27, 33. We see here that he was one of David's trusted advisor. He's a very trusted advisor there in the reign of David. And Ahithophel was the king's counselor, and Hushai the Archite was the king's companion. So we see here that Ahithophel was a trusted counselor, a trusted advisor under the reign of David. And then looking back to our text, we'll skip that, but we saw in 16:23 that his word was received on par or equal to the word of God in his counsel, so therefore he's a very trusted advisor. And then look at 2 Samuel 15:12. 2 Samuel, look at some scriptures this morning. 2 Samuel chapter 15. In verse 12, 2 Samuel 15:12. And Absalom sent for Ahithophel to give not David's counselor from his city and from Gilgal while he offered sacrifices, and the conspiracy was strong. We see here in the context of the life of Ahithophel, the start part we're studying today, we see that about 3 years before that Amnon had raped his half sister, and then Absalom had killed Amnon in revenge. Now Absalom was gone for 3 years, but now the Absalom is back in town, you might say. So we got the context here, and then look over to Second Samuel. Look at 15:12 again. We see there's been a conspiracy there, and now we see that Ahithophel has gone and he sided with David. Now look at, he sided with Absalom. Now look at 2 Samuel 17. Now 2 Samuel 15. Verse 1 through 4, we see here that the counsel that Ahithophel has given to Absalom. 17:1. Moreover, Ahithophel said unto Absalom, "Let me now choose out 12,000 men, and I will rise and pursue after David this night, and I will come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed, and will make him afraid, and all the people that are with him shall flee, and I will smite the king only. And I will bring back all the people unto thee, the man whom thou seekest, as if all return, so all the people shall be in peace." And then the same pleased Absalom well, and all the elders of the city. And then look on down to verse 32 of the same chapter. I got the wrong one. 2 Samuel 17. Okay, now let's look back at his death. Look at 2 Samuel 17:23. Like I said, we're going to just lay a foundation here. 2 Samuel 17:23. And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he sat on his ass and rose and got him home to his city, and put his household in order, and hanged himself, and died, and was buried in the sepulcher. We see that the life of Ahithophel, we saw that he started was one, he was the counselor of David. He was his friend, and we see he served him faithfully. And then when Absalom came back, we see Ahithophel that he switched sides. He sided against David. He began to be on the side of Ahithophel. He gave his counsel during the rebellion. Then he gave some counsel about how to defeat David. And we see that Ahithophel Absalom took that counsel, and he lost the battle. And when we come back here, then we see now that Ahithophel, he takes his own life. My question is this: how did Ahithophel get from being, you might say, one of the he's who, or the who's who of that day, to committing suicide? He went from a hero to a zero. He went from a trusted friend to a enemy. In our lives, I think, in the area of my life is where Ahithophel, he ended up for a while when I first heard this message. This message, it's not new, but I was at a revival one night many years ago down in Carthage. And a preacher preached this message, and God smote my heart. If we're not careful, we all can be in Ahithophel today in our lives. We all can go from being a trusted advisor, a faithful friend, to an enemy. I've seen it in the lives of lots of folks. So this morning, the question is this: how did Ahithophel get from being a faithful friend, a trusted advisor, someone that David put much confidence in, till within several years after we read our text here, he gives the orders that he would like David destroyed? Some of the counsel that Ahithophel stooped to, He told Absalom to show that he was in charge now, to take all of David's wives up to the top of the palace and have relations there with them. He gave Absalom counsel how to destroy David. How did he go from being David's best friend, trusted advisor, to the one that was so bitter and angry against King David? How did he go from being on top of the pile, you might say, to being so far down the bottom, he saw no way out except committing suicide? This past week, I've heard of a family had lost a member to suicide. It's real. I've known Christians saved that have committed suicide. Member of our church, several years ago, we were out on, I think we was coming back from a couple's activity. Pastor got a phone call. Sheriff called. Would you come to so-and-so's house? His wife requested that we call you. This gentleman just committed suicide. He said over here, the first four rows is where he sat, in a good church, a church where he was loved and prayed for. Yet he committed suicide. I'm sure all of us today know of folks that have gone down this path. But the question is this: do I really understand this could happen to me? But by the grace of God, there go I. I want to point out something this morning I think that we all need to learn or relearn or just to be reminded of, that what can destroy us. If you would go back over to 2 Samuel 23:34. Second Timothy 23:34. We're going to look at what led Ahithophel down this path. 2 Samuel 23:34. The last phrase says, the last sentence, it said, Elam the son of Ahithophel, the Gileadite. Elam the son of Ahithophel, the Gileadite. So we share that Elam was the son of Ahithophel. Now back over to 2 Samuel 11:3, if you would, please. 2 Samuel 11:3. Elam, the son of Ahithophel, then 2 Samuel 11:3. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Elam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? Bathsheba, the daughter of Elam. We said Elam is the son of Ahithophel. Bathsheba is the daughter of Elam. Therefore, Bathsheba was Ahithophel's granddaughter. Remember many years ago when King David ought to have been out to battle, and he was not. And he looked over the rooftop and saw a young lady bathing. He sent out and called for Bathsheba. She came to his house. He saw her from the rooftop. She came to his house. David committed adultery. A child was born. She began to be a child. David called the woman's husband, Elam, with Uriah out to back home and had Uriah sentenced to death, basically. Ahithophel watched his granddaughter go through these things. He watched. Advisor of the king, he would have known these things. He probably knew when the man of God came to King David and said, Thou art the man. He knew these things. Never recorded where he said a word. Never an instance in Scripture up until now where he turned against King David. What happened? He began to be bitter. We know it connects with this, because remember the counsel that he gave Absalom? Take all the king's wives up to the rooftop. Let all the nation watch. It was there. Bitterness can destroy us. We turn your food over to Hebrews 12:15, if you would, please. Hebrews 12:15. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15 says this: looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. In our lives, whatever happens, God can give victory over it. The grace of God never fails. We fail the grace of God sometimes, but the grace of God never fails us. In our lives today, we need to understand this, that bitterness took over the life of Ahithophel. It took over his life. Probably every day he was reminded, every time he saw David, I'll get him. I'll get him. Apparently, David never expected anything because David continued to trust him. David was surprised when Ahithophel went against him. Yet when the occasion came some years later, Absalom now back, Absalom begins to take over the, he warmed the heart of the people. He met them by the gate, put his hand on the shoulder. He got to know the people. And then when he arose, he led a large rebellion against King David. Ahithophel saw his chance to get even. I think he wanted David to know why he did it too. That's why the rooftop. He wanted David to not forget what he had done. And ultimately, bitterness destroyed him, and he committed suicide there. For the life of us as Christians, some things that we need to understand. Bitterness is a sin. We hold on. We hold a grudge. We don't forget. Yes, we never forgive. I mean, we never forget, but we should forgive. There are times in our life where I'm sure we've all been hurt. We have a choice to make. I can't choose to forget. It comes to mind. Even now, teaching this lesson, the one I was bitter at, it comes to mind. Things said, things done, it comes to mind. I have a choice to make. I could tell you, I mean, and I know that there's a lot of folks that have been betrayed, they've been hurt, and they are wrong. But let's look at a couple of verses here. Look at if you would at Matthew chapter 18. Verse 21 through 35. Matthew 18, 21 through 35. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. And the servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me all thou owest. His fellow servants fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorrow, and came and sold unto to their Lord, told the Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldest thou not also have had compassion on the fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you forgive from your hearts, if you from your hearts forgive not every brother their trespass. And then look over to Luke chapter 17, verse 3 and 4. Luke 17, verse 3 and 4. Luke chapter 17, verse 3. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. If he trespass against thee seven times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Then on over to Ephesians 4:32. Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ that has forgiven you. What should I do when I'm hurt? What should I do when I'm offended? What should I do when I'm betrayed? What shall I do when somebody stabs you in the back that I never expected? My trusted advisor, my closest friend. What I ought to do is forgive. I need to forgive. It doesn't mean that I don't allow, if it's a civil matter, it doesn't mean I don't allow the authorities to take care of that. God has designed them for that, one of those reasons. It means that I let go of my right to hurt them back. Why? For their sake? No. For my sake. Ahithophel. Man, all those years, the years there that he waited and waited and waited. He looked and watched, compiled. I'm sure every time he saw David, he was miserable, and David didn't know it. See, when we're angry at others, a lot of times it's hurting ourselves worse than it is them. If they've hurt us once, they really don't care that they hurt us. But yet, David, I mean, with Ahithophel, would have sat there and contemplated. How many times in life have we been somewhere and we're sitting down and a person walks in, instantly our blood boils? Remember when they said this or they did that? It could be they have no recollection of that. They have forgot it. It's in their past. And I sit there and I stay miserable. I go to church and I got a chip on my shoulder. I'm tormented and I don't know why. There in Matthew we read about the tormentors, the memories, the feelings, all those things come up out of the blue sometimes and I don't know why. Eventually, my heart begins to get hard. Eventually, I begin to think so much about that, it controls my every waking moment. Then eventually, I can't take it. And I take my own life. Not always physically, but I know there's a lot of Christians out of church today that have been so bitter and so angry they've just quit and they've left. I've known of pastors that got so hurt, so bitter, so angry, they quit. And they did things they thought they would never do. One of the ones that hurt my wife and I the most, the pastor that married my wife and I, my wife's pastor for years, he got hurt along the way. No one knew how hurt the deep was. Eventually he quit caring, lost his love for his people, lost his love for his family. Eventually he just left his family, left the church, lived in sin. Eventually he ended up in prison. He got in business. Just before all that happened, I went to his house. I've told you before. I said, I'm not being mean. I'm not being critical. But how'd you get where you're at? He was on the verge of leaving his family then. His life was just a mess. So I got tired of being hurt. I'm tired of it. People hurt you. I'm done with it. I'm taking no more. Shortly after that, he left his family. Like I say, had several girlfriends living in sin. Went to prison. Got out of prison. And he died a short time after that. Saw his son several years back. I told his son, I was trying to encourage his son. His son's still in church. And I explained to him how that I know his dad messed up, but man, the Lord had used him, and I'm thankful for him. His son said, I'm sure I've told you the story before. He said, yeah, when we spread dad's ashes, the grass died. He killed everything around him. His son picked up the spirit of bitterness. Not only does bitterness destroy me, bitterness will destroy my family. The root of bitterness grows strong and it grows deep. Ahithophel is a prime example. There are other examples throughout Scripture, but I think Ahithophel is the most prime example. My question today is this: who have you not forgiven? Who have I not forgiven? What do I do? I got a choice to make. God's grace is there. God's grace is there. Well, they really hurt me. Well, we really hurt Christ so much he died. All that he went through there on earth was because of my sin and because of your sin. He went to the cross in human flesh. Human. All man, but yet he was all God, but yet all man. He felt the pain of betrayal, the ultimate betrayal. Closest friend, Peter. Not his closest friend, but one of the disciples, Peter, denied him. Judas betrayed him. The cross, all but John forsook him. And yet he loved them all. He loves me, he loves you. Even as Christ has forgiven us, so should we forgive others. Easy preaching, hard living. But I want to warn all of us today in this world, you turn on your news, you see the results. Bitterness passed down generation by generation on the blacks, and the whites as well. I'm not accusing one group. I'm saying this. It's on both sides. Passed down generation by generation. Down where our mission was in Elmwood originally. A lot of guys I went to school with wouldn't come to church because It was people of color there. There's people of color that in the area that wouldn't come because there's white people there. Results of bitterness of years. It destroys. So today I want to remind all of us, if there's bitterness of any kind in our life, it's wrong. It's sin. Forgiveness is not an elective in our Christian life. It's a required course. We must learn to forgive, or we will be destroyed. Turn over to the tormentors. In our lives, I encourage us all this morning, if there's someone in our life that we have not forgiven, we've not let go of our right to hurt them. Every time we think of them, our blood burns, it boils within. Let's stop today. Number one, let's confess. Say, God, I'm sorry. Lord, I need your grace to forgive so-and-so. Lord, it's not in me, but Lord, I know you can give me the grace for it. Then I choose to forgive. I choose to let go of my right to hurt them. I choose to let go. If I don't do that, and then, number one, they still control me after all those years. Number two, the Lord will turn me over to the tormentors. Long, restless nights. High tempers, etc., etc. And eventually it will destroy me. Sadly, when it stops, I don't know. Would it stop at my death? Probably not. Probably passed on to my sons and daughter. If they don't rectify it, it's on down to the grandchildren. Last illustration, I'll have my word of prayer and close. This, many years ago, my father and my uncle got my father and uncle got in a big fight over a $25 shotgun. Don't know who won it. It cost them both. They never forgave. On each other's deathbed, they refused to go to each other's deathbed to make things right. They both went to their grave with that. I picked up the capacity to be bitter for my father and my family. I had to make a choice. When I heard this message, I had to make a choice. Do I choose today to repent? So, oh God, I'm sorry. Please let it stop here. And I did that. Some days I have to confess again. The devil's tricky, but it doesn't control me. After my dad died, I went to my uncle's house after the funeral. He didn't come, so I went to his house. I said, Dubler, the feud died today. He said, if you don't fight with yourself, that's fine. I choose to forgive. You're welcome at my house anytime. And I walked away. He got saved shortly after that. But what a wasted years of bitterness. And it does go down through families. Examples of Word of God, examples. I'm sure all of us know examples. I encourage you today, if you know someone that you're bitter at, confess it. Say, God, I'm sorry. I'm wrong. Help me forgive them. And let go of it. And watch God bless your life. if you hold on to it, it will destroy you. I'm not saying you will commit suicide. I am saying this. It'll cost you more than you're willing to pay. The tormentors will be there day and night. Eventually, you might be in church still, but you'll hate every moment of it. That's what bitterness does. Let's pray. Father,